This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
I am so proud of all of our kids tonight. They did a fantastic job. Let them hear it one more time. All right, so all you boys and girls that are sitting down here, you guys can go sit with your moms and dads. Go ahead. And while they're doing that, I want you to keep your Bibles out. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 105. Psalm chapter 105. Now, any of the kids that are in Kids Power with us on Sunday mornings can tell you Brother Joey has rules. But I always tell them there's one rule that is the most important rule. And I want you guys to tell everybody around you, what is the most important rule of Kids Power? If you did not hear them, it is have fun and worship God. And what we're going to talk about tonight is that that's not just a rule for Kids Power. That should be a rule for everyday life, because we are wired for worship. And tonight we're going to talk about tapping in to our true calling to worship God. What happened up here tonight was a demonstration of each and every kid's worshiping our Lord and Savior. Somebody say amen right there. From the jokes that were told, they made us laugh, they made us think about God, think about the Bible. From the sermon that was preached, every song that was sung, it was all forms and acts of worship. And tonight we're going to talk about being wired for worship. And one of the things that I have tried to instill in the kids in our children's ministry, whether it be from the youngest all the way up to our fifth graders, is that our job as believers is to worship God. Now, the have fun part is just my personal philosophy on life. Because here's my thinking about it. I want you to think about this for a second. This, for the believer, for the Christian, is as bad as it's ever going to get. We have heaven waiting for us. Now, some of y'all don't look excited about this, so you're going to get excited here in a minute. This is as bad as it's going to get for us. There's bad things that happen in this world. But how many of you can agree that there are some great things that we get to enjoy as well? Sonny's barbecue is one of those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. We get to enjoy so many things about life, family, friends, fellowship. There's so much about this life that we can enjoy. But can I be honest with you? Most Christians don't enjoy life. How many of you have ever walked around a church and seen most people look like they just drank a whole jar of pickle juice? That's the truth. We look sour, we look sad, we look depressed. And this is as bad as it's going to get. Now, are there troubles? Absolutely. And I'm not diminishing those troubles. Everybody goes through them. I go through them. You go through them. We all go through them. But the greatest thing that you and I can do is to worship God in those troubles. Because we have a better day coming. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So if you have your Bibles, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read a few verses in Psalm 105. And I promise I will not keep you long, but I will preach longer than Weston. So, Psalm 105, starting in verse number 1, the Bible says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth." You may be seated. We'll have a word of prayer, and we're going to look tonight at being wired for worship. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the joy that was brought to my heart and hopefully everyone's heart in here as we saw these young people get up and demonstrate their talents, but not just for applause for them, but God, each one of them, brought glory and honor to you. And Lord, that is what we strive for. That is what we are teaching our children. Lord, we want them to have a heart and a desire to worship you. So Lord, help us as adults tonight discover how we are wired for worship and what we can do to help the children continue to worship you by following our example in worship. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The word worship appears 102 times in the Bible. The Bible says the word worship 102 times. If God says something once, it's important. Somebody say amen. Amen. If God talks about it 102 times, if he took the time to record it 102 times in his word, it is something that you and I should take note of. Many of us don't understand what worship truly is, what biblical worship truly is. And that is what we as a children's ministry are trying to teach our kids. How to love God, how to know God, and how to worship God. The word worship in Merriam-Webster's dictionary is defined two ways. The first way, it says to honor or reverence as a divine being or supernatural power. The second says to regard with great or extravagant respect. I love that word. Extravagant respect, honor, and devotion. All of those should describe our lives when it comes to how we act towards God. So as we look at Scripture tonight, we're going to look at four things. The first is who should worship. Who should worship? Now, no one would say, oh, I don't think I should worship, but most people don't worship. Most people spectate when it comes to worship. We don't participate. The Bible says many times, and if you go through the book of Revelation, for time's sake, we won't look at those passages, but you can look in the book of Revelation and see many times the Bible records for us as John was transported to heaven. He saw angels. And what were they doing? They were worshiping around the throne of God. There are angels whose only job, the only purpose that they have been created for is to worship day and night around that throne. John paints a beautiful picture of it, but we cannot even comprehend. We cannot even understand. He did the best that he could with the limits of our language and our understanding. But I don't believe we will fully understand until we get to heaven and see the majesty and the wonder of these angels whose sole purpose is to worship God. Now, I want you to think about this. Think about angels and how they're recorded in the Bible. One angel, God sent them down and they defeated an entire army before the children of God. One angel. Angels are very powerful beings. They're not like most people think. They're not fat, chubby babies with wings floating around on clouds playing harps. I know that's Pastor David's pet peeve right there. I'm hitting on that for him. That's not what they are. They are powerful, mighty beings. But yet, there are some who all they do, day and night, is worship Almighty God. That's it. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter number 9, if you'll flip over there, because I want you to see this. Psalm 9, verse number 14. The Bible says, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Over and over again in the Word of God, we see, especially in the book of Psalm, as it is the songbook of the Bible, the saved, or what is called the congregation, is where worship happens here on earth. You and I are created to worship God. That is why God created us. He wanted that fellowship with us. In Psalm 95, verse 6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Over and over again, the Bible commands us, the saved, the congregation, the children of God, to worship. There are many people who love and adore me. That was a joke, y'all. Some of y'all get it. Just making sure y'all are paying attention. There are many people who love and adore me. My mother-in-law is here tonight. She is not on that list. But the rest of y'all love and adore me. But there are a few people who love and adore me more than anybody else. And that's the little girls who are up here singing. My little boy, it boggles my mind. I walk in the room, and he catches me, he sees me, and he lights up. My wife sent me a picture of him the other day. He was eating in the high chair. So I sent a picture back. And then she sent me the picture back of his response to my picture. And he is cackling, laughing, ecstatic that Daddy sent him a picture. When I'm on my lunch break, I'll video chat with the girls, and they love to talk to Daddy. They want to talk to me, and they want to tell me everything about their life. Why? Because I'm their father. They adore me. I don't deserve it, but they adore me. I'm not perfect, and they still adore me. The other night, I had to get on to Lily because she did something bad. I know that's hard to believe if you know Lily. She's a perfect little angel, never does anything wrong. She's nothing like Mia, total opposite personality. Somebody say amen. Those my Mom's Day Out teachers who've had them both, you say amen. I think this year, Grace and Shelly taught Leah, and they had taught Mia before. And Alicia told them at the beginning of the year, Mia and Leah are different. 3 weeks into school, they came to her and said, "You're right, they're very different." Lily had done something wrong, and I had to get on to her. And after I was done getting on to her, she looked up at me, and she goes, "Daddy, do you still love me?" I'll tell you what, that'll break your heart. But her concern was that her daddy loved her. She wanted my affection and my attention. And that's what God wants from us. Why? Because we're his children. Just as they're my children, and that's what I crave it from them, and they crave it from me. We should crave it from Almighty God because he is our Heavenly Father. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, that one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and worship. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not everyone will worship God today. There are many who won't, but one day, everyone. And I'm no Greek or Hebrew scholar, but I believe the Bible, when it says everyone, doesn't exclude anyone. Every knee, from the most vile to the most holy, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So why should we worship? We know who should worship. The angels were created for worship. That's all they do. That's their job. As the saved, we have a choice to worship, and we should worship. One day, everyone will worship. But why should we worship, number two? Psalms 18, verse 3 tells us that because he is worthy of our worship. Let's look at that together. Psalm 18, verse number 3. We're going to do a lot in the book of Psalms here. Over these next few points, it says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." Amen. God is worthy of our praise. I may not be worthy of the praise of my daughters. I am human, I make mistakes, but God is always worthy of our praise. Many of you have been around longer than me. You've served God for longer than me. Has God ever let you down? How many of you would raise a hand and say, "Brother Joey, I can promise you God has never one time let me down"? Raise your hand. He's worthy. Amen. He's worthy because he will never let us down. Why should we worship God? Psalm 99, verse 5 tells us, because he is holy. Psalm 99:5, exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Amen. God is holy and deserves our worship. His holiness, his perfection is what we should strive for. And we worship him because he is worthy, because he is holy. Psalm 150, verse number 2 tells us that we should love and worship God because of his love and blessings for us. Let's look at that together. Psalm 150, verse number 2. The Bible says, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. His mighty acts, the things that he has done in our life. How many of you have seen God work a miracle in your life? Raise your hand. That's a mighty act of God. He is worthy of our praise because of his mighty acts, because of his love and his blessings. How many of you, God has been better to you than you deserve? Raise your hand. Every one of us should raise our hand, because if we got what we deserve, we'd be on our way to a devil's hell. Right. But the Bible says he loves us and he blesses us. Why should we worship God? Because he is worthy, he is holy, and because of his love and blessings. Number three, quickly, what is the purpose of worship? So why? We know who should worship, we know why we should worship, but what is the purpose? Well, number one, it brings glory to God. It brings glory to where it belongs. You and I deserve no glory on our own. Somebody say amen right there. We don't deserve honor and glory, but God always does. God deserves more glory and honor than we could give to him, and that is what the purpose of worship is to bring glory to him, to remind us of his goodness. How many of you have ever been singing a song, maybe talking about the faithfulness of God, and the Holy Spirit brings back something that God did in your life and you had forgotten about it? And maybe it brings a tear to your eye, but you remember the goodness of God in your life as you worship him. And that ever happened to anybody else besides me? Okay, good, I'm not alone. Why does that happen? Because as we worship, it reminds us of the goodness of God. God is, as the old song says, God is so good. Right. Amen. He's so good to me. If you've been around church people any amount of time, you probably know this. God is good. And all the time. Why do we say that? Because we have experienced it in our lives, and as we worship him, it brings back those memories. It reminds us of the goodness that he has demonstrated. And number three, it exalts him. My favorite scripture verse when it comes to this is Jesus said, if I am lifted up, that's what the word exalt means. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. When I lift God up, people don't focus on me. They focus on him, and they're drawn to him. I have a terrible disease called foot-in-mouth disease. Some of you may suffer from the same disease. I don't know what that was, where it was coming from, but it's okay. I have foot and mouth disease. Anybody ever suffer from the same disease as me? Yep. Yep, we do. If I'm trying to draw men to myself, I will turn people away. People will say, oh, Brother Joey, he said the wrong thing. He did the wrong thing. He should have did this and should have done that. Because I will disappoint you, because I'm human. But if I lift Jesus up, he will draw all men unto himself. And anytime we stand before the kids, anytime I stand up here, I know Pastor David, anytime you stand up here, our whole goal is to exalt Christ. Now, for the practical, how should you and I worship? Well, it was demonstrated by a lot of the kids tonight. The most common way that we think to worship is to sing. All through the book of Psalm, you talk about worship. Why? Because singing and worship go hand in hand. But that is not the only way to worship. Somebody say amen. Amen. Worship does not stop when the song leader sits down and Pastor David gets up. That's not where it stops. It doesn't stop when you walk out the back doors. We worship God by singing, but we worship God by praying, by talking to Him. We worship Him. Pastor David has encouraged us in the 60 days of prayer. And I've been encouraged as we take the Word of God and pray it back to God. It's been amazing to see what God has done. And you told us in the beginning, you said you'll be amazed at what God opens up in your prayers as you do this. And it has been amazing. And I hope if you haven't started, start today. Worship God in your prayers. Worship God in your giving. We have a time of offering. I don't know what people hate more, shaking hands or offering. I'd say offering probably. But that is a way that you and I can worship God. Because let me ask you something. How did you get everything you got? By the grace of God. Amen. I've had people say, I'm a self-made man. I did this myself. I worked hard. I got the job. I got paid. Oh, really? So you made your heart beat, and you caused your lungs to breathe, and you created the air that your lungs breathe, and you created the food that you ate to give you the energy to do the work. Because at any moment, in God's sovereign will, He can snap His fingers and you will cease to exist on this earth. Is that a correct statement or not? There is no such thing as a self-made man or woman. Everything that you and I do is by the grace of God. Everything that I have, every penny to my name, my house, my car, anything I own, I don't own, God owns. The Bible says that I am a steward, I am a manager of that for Him. So if you work a job and you are a manager, there's an owner of said job. And if the owner tells you to take money and pay this bill, do you say, well, you know, I really don't want to do that. You know, I think that it would be better if we just kept it here in the account, you know, in the cash drawer. I just think it's better for us if we just, you know, I would feel better about it. I think that's a little too much that you're asking me. All right, here's what I'll do for you, owner. I'll give a couple dollars. All right, will that be good enough? How many of you would be looking for a new job in like 30 seconds? Yeah, because the owner tells you what to do. Well, guess what? God owns everything. Everything. He created it all. It's all His. So anything that you and I have is really God's that He's letting us manage for Him. So don't forget that. That's why the Bible says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Why? Because we're just following orders. When God says, hey, I want you to put this in the offering plate, I want you to give this to missions, I want you to help with this special project at the church, we should be happy to do it because it's all His anyways. And guess what? If you go under, God's the one to blame. And I've never seen anybody with a bigger bank account than God. Amen. But it's not just giving of your money. I have the four T's of tithing or giving. You give God of your time, your talent, your treasure, that's your money, and your testimony. Those are the four things that you and I can give back to God. It's not just about giving God money. That's what we all focus on. But we can give God so much more than that. By giving, by obeying, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then the last one, it got cut off on my notes, so I know they don't have it on the screen. But by the preaching of the Word of God. God is worshipped every time His Word is proclaimed. Every time this Bible is open and his word is read, he is worshiped. I don't think you and I realize the wonder that is this Bible. Do you know how many people have tried to discredit this book, have tried to get rid of this book, have tried to destroy it, but yet, here it is. Why? Because God promised us he would preserve his word. This is another demonstration of the wonder of God, the blessings of God. You and I have an insight to Almighty God, and we hold it in our hands. We carry it around on our phones. We have the very word of God. And when it is read into our lives, it brings honor and glory to Almighty God. So here's what my challenge to you is. I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell the kids every week. There's not a week that goes by that I don't tell the kids the most important thing to do. So I'm going to tell you the most important thing that you can do. Have fun, because this is as bad as it's going to get, and we got heaven waiting for us. So it's okay to smile. We're going to practice, because some of y'all look like y'all need the practice. It's been a while since you did this. I thought Leanne would warm you up for me. She did a fantastic job, but some of y'all need to learn how to smile. So here we go. If you need something to smile at, just look at me. I'm funny looking, so it will help. On the count of three, we're all going to smile. And I want you to look at your neighbor and see how awesome they look. On the count of three. One, two, three. See, doesn't it just feel good to smile? Some of y'all are laughing. It's the first time you've laughed in church in ages. It's okay to laugh. You will not die. Dane, you will not die. Smile. You won't. Smile. And then worship God. Have fun and worship God. So everybody say it with me. Are you ready?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.